Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Adam Yekovitoval.
This is Dating Kinda Sucks, a podcast about dating, sex, and relationships. This week, we'll be talking about self-confidence as the key to happiness. Enjoy the show!
Whether you're married or single or poly or ace, or hanging out with swingers back at your place, listen to us as we give no fucks on Tinder and Bumble and plenty of yucks, trying and having no luck, because we all know dating kinda sucks.
You know what the key to happiness is, Adam?
It's not self-confidence.
It's a jet ski.
It's a jet ski.
Jet skis.
Do you realize you live in a landlocked state, right?
There are lakes and rivers here. Well, I wouldn't take a river down a jet. There are not some of these rivers down a jet ski. On a jet ski.
I don't think you'd take a river down a jet ski at all.
I don't know what the fuck I'm saying anymore. All I'm saying is you don't see sad people on jet skis. Nobody's crying while they're on a jet ski. For the most part, I don't know.
Yes.
That's always
Imagine if someone on a jet ski just like, I just can't see that happening.
And they're not, yeah. You have to be confident in a jet ski.
Impersonation there of a jet ski. That's pretty spot on. So here we are. We are recording this early. This is Monday, November 15th. Mm-hmm. And I think we recorded last on like November 10th. I believe, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was just last week, but we're doing a double.
It's like we're recording an episode every week like we used to do a million years ago.
I don't know how we did that. I mean, like, I swear to God, like, how did we fucking do that?
We had a lot of energy, and now we're just worn down and fucking tired.
We're just old and decrepit, and it's like, I really can't imagine, unless we were getting paid a salary to do it as a job.
We were not. We were just out of the goodness and kindness of our hearts, just pumping out episodes left and right every fucking week.
Every fucking week. Like, did we not do anything with our lives? We had no lives at all.
No, all I did was go on dates, and I kept going, Adam, I have something else to talk about. And it was just this vicious cycle of be on Tinder, go on dates, have something to talk about, generate the topic from that, and rinse and repeat every fucking week.
Yeah, that is just so crazy. But yes, we're recording again, which is just because Sarah is going on vacation. So when you listen to this, she's going to be sauntering through Portugal all by herself, having a fun time, leaving the rest of us behind.
Yeah, I just booked a boat tour today, and actually I just checked that the fucking weather's going to rain pretty much every day, and they don't get a lot of rain, but I guess whatever. It's only, you know, a 40% chance, but I've been looking at the weather going, my chances of it being sunny are great, and then it just popped up today. I'm like, God fucking damn it.
Well, it'll still be by the time you actually leave and everything. Who knows? Weather always changes, so maybe it'll be better. What do they say? The rain in Portugal falls mainly in the plain?
I don't know. Is that supposed to be a joke or something? Yes. It's stupid. It's so stupid.
It's the rain in Spain falls mainly in the plain as the, yes.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Boo,
my God. So let's dive right into this. Let's dive right into the fact that you are going, you're moved in with Master of None. You guys are in a new stage of it. You've had your 1 year anniversary as a relationship, and you're abandoning him for Thanksgiving.
Okay, it's not like I'm abandoning him. Calm the fuck down. I've mentioned this before that I asked him if he wanted to go. He said no. And I said, cool, I'm gonna go then. Yeah. See you when I get back. So that's it.
I can't really argue with that. I mean, and you're good. You know how to travel well alone anyway.
I have everything planned out. I did all of my planning earlier today, so I feel pretty confident in traveling. And like I mentioned before, this is a pretty easy country to travel through if you're a solo traveler. So
unlike in Mexico, we don't have to worry about you giving yourself heat stroke or
oh my God,
you
know, I can't believe that happened. Right? Yeah. But I am going back to Mexico for a week in January, but I doubt that I'll have the heat stroke problem because it'll be
a little cooler,
hopefully.
Just a little bit.
Slightly.
Well, so that'll be fun. So yes, if you're listening to this episode, when it launches, and you'll just know that I will not be in Portugal and Sarah will be. And so that's why we're doing this early.
World travel.
I don't know where I'll be, but there is good news on the me being homeless front. I think I talked last episode about the fact that I was still kind of in this limbo because the person who's living in the suicide shack right now will not vacate the property. So they're having to go through the whole eviction process and everything. It sounds like he's starting to pack up his stuff. So it may be that by the time this episode is dropped, that I will actually have my suicide shack ready to go.
and you'll be living that life, I guess, in the middle of nowhere with no potential dating prospects.
Very few, although it's close to every. I mean, it's an hour from, you know, lots of places. That's so I can travel.
From the person who wouldn't drive more than 10 fucking minutes anywhere to meet someone to now saying, well, it's only an hour drive. Oh, wow. Have you fucking changed?
Well, I've actually, because I kind of feel bad about where I'm staying right now. I feel like I'm imposing. So I went in and booked a week on the beach in Maine, starting November 28th. So I'll be gone for a week.
The beach in Maine in end of November, December. Let's just think about that for a second here.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to fucking snow. Well, I think beach-wise, you're less likely to get snow because of the beach, but because it's less common, but it will be cold. But I'm looking forward to that, and I've got my my best friends coming out. And
what fucking logic is that?
That I want to get away, and because the beach, you mean?
Yeah.
I think
factor
it's
cap. I don't know.
That's definitely fact. It's definitely fact that beachside is going to get less snow because if it does snow, it doesn't really pile up; it just blows away.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
No, you absolutely don't. I'm like, I've definitely seen snow on a beach before, but okay.
No clue. Yeah.
In Maine. I was there in January and there was snow. So that's why I'm saying you're fucked.
I mean, I like snow. I don't mind. I'm going to have to break up my winter clothes. But yeah, my best friend's coming up and we're just basically going to chill for a week and just drink. And there's some bars and stuff right in town and have fun. It'll just be a good little getaway.
So what's funny is the fact that Adam was going to go to Portland last weekend and he was asking people. Well, he called me. Okay. I have to just throw you under the bus. No. I get to talk. So he calls me and he's saying, oh, well, no one can go visit me in Portland. And I've asked so many people. And I'm sitting here like, bitch, you didn't fucking ask me. And then he says, honest Adam over here, actually, I wouldn't invite you because I'm looking to, like, you know, have some kind of sexual relationship with somebody or bang someone.
I was very blunt. I was like, oh, I'm only inviting people that I might fuck, is basically what I said.
Still,
yes,
like,
yes.
What the fuck, Adam? And I was like, well, you would not invite me then.
Right. So yeah, I was looking for somebody who wanted to come and spend a weekend, maybe bang, like not like a guaranteed bang, but like,
I know. But when you said that, I was like, damn, cause you were making a case like, oh, I'm so sad that no one can go with me to Maine and experience Portland. And I was excited for you to go. And then when you were sad about not having a friend, I was like, hello, I would have gone. You're like, it's so cheap. And then you dropped that bomb.
Right. No, I mean, that's why, like, when I'm this trip I'm taking after that is with my best friend who I'm not going to bang. But I'm actually going to have like an Airbnb I rented a 4-bedroom house for $100 a night.
Cause no one wants to be on the beach. You were bragging about that price. And I'm like, bro, no one go in prime season. If it was July, that would be triple.
Oh no, it said like, usually this is like $500 a night or something like that. Yeah. $700 a night. So I'm like, look at the discount. That's my brain's like, look at this deal. How can I say no to this? That'll be fun. But no, I would totally, yes. If I had the place I found in Portland that I was going to go stay at was just a 1-bedroom Airbnb with a hot tub. And so, yes, it was just basically a fuck pad. If we're going to be quite honest, like it was just all situated to be like, come up, let's get drinks.
I
let's
like
have
hot
fun.
Tubs. God damn, I like drinks. Yeah, but I don't like fucking you.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. There was and 1-bedroom. I'm like, even if you slept on the couch, you would have to deal with my snoring, and that's just you couldn't handle that. I think that would really be too much. So sometime, yes, we'll do that. We'll do a trip. We'll do an Airbnb with a cool place, and we'll travel. It'll be
2 bedrooms though.
Two or more, or like multiple across the house from each other. Yes.
Okay.
2 bathrooms. Like I don't want to see you until the morning. Thing. I don't want to see you until you know, I'm awake and ready to handle Sarah.
Okay. So it's the person who calls me every morning too, and we talk every morning, but okay. Don't want to see you early in the morning. Got it.
Yeah. So I didn't go to Portland, but, where I'm going to be going is in York, Maine, and it's only like a quick little jaunt up to Portland. So we'll probably check out Portland while we're there too, which will be fun.
What about checking out any, wait, updates with any people you've dated? Let's check up on that.
I'll check up on that. I have, I've been relatively active on the dating apps, but then I get overwhelmed and I stop talking to people and I, or I just like, it's
too
just
many
too
matches.
Much. I had too many matches, which is, I know it's like, oh, woe is me. Too many matches. Poor little Adam. But it honestly was, this was a situation where I was getting, I tried Facebook dating and got like, I mean, inundated with matches. And so I had to back off. But, oh, the person I talked about last episode who had ghosted that we really got along well.
Right.
And, it was such a, and everything. And she had kind of disappeared. I can't remember what else I said about that, but she essentially,
she
that,
said,
I think
you thought
same...
that she was just too busy and you were reading into her social media post saying that
yes,
she was probably
yes,
going through something.
Going through something. Or... So that night after we recorded, in fact, as we were, I think, wrapping up our episode, she messaged me. And so she actually on Instagram and just saying, hey, sorry, you know, like something happened with Bumble banning her or something, but her account was still active. So they, I think they blocked her, but she's still like, our chats are still there. And yeah.
What did they block her for?
Are they restricted? Well, because she does online sex work. And she said
but
that she
doesn't have that in her profile.
No,
does
nowhere in her profile, nowhere at all. But she said she had mentioned it to someone that she was chatting with who asked, you know, what she does for a living. But she has a job, like another job too. But this is one that she's kind of, she's very pro sex work and very much active in trying to make it a, you know, remove the stigma and stuff. She's working on like a whole platform for sex workers and things like that. So like she's doing active work to make it into a more, a safer place for women. But so she might've brought that up. And then I guess the guy didn't like her. So he basically reported her essentially.
God damn.
So then she was kind of like just
kind
of spiraling.
She was what, a bot? Or she was trying to solicit herself through the app?
Something like that. You know, just some, you know, guys tend to report women as soon as they don't get what they want out of it, basically. And a lot of times when women will say that they do any type of sex work at all, there will be men will be like, think that this immediately means that they're easy, that they're going to get laid, that whatever. And they so immediately get crude. And that's my guess. She didn't go into detail. But
how long has she been on the app and probably had similar conversations? I guess it just takes one person to report you. That people in the past, if she's talked to them about it through the app, just never cared enough to report her.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Or yeah, they just weren't little throwing little tantrums and little whiny babies and being like, oh, this woman didn't like me, so I'm going to report her now. And so I think it threw her in a little bit of a spiral because she was frustrated with it and everything, and she just didn't want to deal with it. And so that she, you know, and she couldn't respond either. So then so she messaged me that night. And then last night, actually, I was out. I got sick of being in the house. So I went out to do karaoke. I found a karaoke place that was open late. So I went and I was doing karaoke last night, posted on my story, and she messaged me and said, oh, you're doing karaoke without me? And so then we started messaging back and forth. And I gave her, and at that point I gave her my number and she texted me and she's like, yeah, we're definitely going to plan something at some point soon. So
do you anticipate that being later this week or, well, you have the holidays coming up next weekend, so it would need to be what?
Oh, that's right. I mean, it could be any
end of this week. Weekend.
Yeah, maybe this week or something. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, I have no schedule, so I can do it whenever. So it doesn't matter to me. So we'll see. She was fun. I really enjoyed, you know, spending time with her. And so maybe we'll get a chance to hang out. And yeah. And I've also been chatting with somebody long distance that we've been.
That we mentioned last episode.
Yeah, we did mention last episode, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I always forget to be
because I'm shitty and didn't look at her videos, and we went.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. So, so we've been chatting. We chat pretty much consistently throughout the day. So that's which is nice too. You know, she's like she wants me to come visit soon, and I was like, hey, it might not be till January or February before I get a chance to.
Yeah, you were talking about going to Pittsburgh maybe and meeting up with her in January.
Potentially, January would be the probably what I would aim for because I really want to. I really want to get to Vermont and just sit down and write this book. Like that's really my goal is to, you know,
I mean, you could sit down and write the book there.
It's hard. I need a routine and it's hard when I feel like I'm in limbo right now. Like just mentally, like I don't feel because I'm like, I just don't know if tomorrow all of a sudden I'm gonna be like, oh, I have a place to, I have to pack up everything and get ready to, you know? And so just like, it's hard for me to get into a routine of writing X number of words every day. So I mean, I need to do that to a degree, but yeah. So anyways, so things are going, you know, well,
as good as they can be.
As
going,
good as they
I guess.
Can be. Who knows? Things are going in a particular evitable style, as you would expect that they would, basically, is
the
way you describe
it. Yeah. Who knows
you
what
never know what's
going to
happen. It's right.
I mean, think about it. This time last year, you never anticipated being on the road, traveling like this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you were just content with Florida and staying there, and because your place wasn't up for sale or anything.
A year ago, I probably said something like, well, you know, the only thing keeping me in Florida is the house. So I'll be here for a while. I probably said something like that. And just, you know, that was it right there.
And the universe said, well, bitch, yeah. Watch the fuck out.
So that's going on in my life. Everything's kind of same old, same old. What about you? I know you haven't had much going on, but, you know, you guys were kind of getting into some issues with dishes and things like that. And have you kind of figured a good routine and good rhythm now?
Yeah. I think it just took the adjustment month of going, fuck, yeah. This is so different and I don't like it. And I've had freak out moments where now I'm just like, I know he's going to take care of this. And I actually really like that he takes initiative for making meals, because for me tonight, I just had regular pasta because I knew he had to record. But on another night, he plans out the meals and whatever. So I do definitely like that aspect. And he's proactive. It's not like I'm cleaning up his shit all the time or whatever. You know, I think it's
that was kind of an issue, was that you were worried about like the dishes and like all that stuff too and everything.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good about stuff. That's good. So I'm not, it was just an adjustment at the beginning of talking out, hey, my whole thing is, because I work from home and I'm home all day, I don't want the night before to just leave it a mess, because then I feel obligated to clean while I'm working from home, just to clean things up, because I don't like staring at the mess because I'm there all fucking day. So for the most part, I mean, everything's either washed and on the drying rack by morning, or it's in the dishwasher and just needs to run in the morning. And that's as easy as turning it on. So haven't had an issue there. I don't know. We're still figuring out our sex. It's just different having sex and living with someone versus he would come over on the weekend. So I knew when I was going to see him, we were going to have sex. Where now it's just a fucking toss up of, could be tonight. Or we've gotten into a really bad habit recently of going out to dinner, or before going out to dinner, saying something about wanting to fuck and get, you know, being sexy and all of that talk. And then coming back home, watching TV for a little bit, being full, and then just going to sleep. And it's happened a couple times in a row now where I'm thinking, we can't keep doing this, because I don't, you know, it happens.
I mean, as long as neither of you are like feeling like you're not, you know, that you're not getting to have sex if you wanted to, I mean, that's okay. It's okay to do that too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like the last time we had sex, because I'm about to start my period, I was feeling it, but then at the same time, I wasn't feeling it. And I think this is a lot of TMI that I wasn't prepared to really share here. But just because of...
We don't have TMI on this.
I feel like it's a TMI. But just the smells change when you're about to start your period and stuff. And he was eating me out. And I just smelled myself. And I was like, you know, obviously I was showered and all that. It's not like I just got finished from working out. But I just smelled myself and was like, I don't really want you eating me out. And he's like, dude, I don't fucking care. And I was like, still, I'd rather just not do it. And I know that's been something that I brought up in the past and he does not care at all. But for me, that's just something I struggle with. And I don't think that's something that's going to change. If I don't feel comfortable because of that, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, he doesn't care, because he can say he doesn't care all day long, but that's still not making me feel more comfortable. Like, it's something that just makes me feel a little insecure, and that's always how it has been. And that's, I don't know.
Well, I have two things to say about that. Number one, that oddly ties really well into what our topic is going to be for today, doesn't it?
Which is not expected,
Not intended. And two, I totally believe that he called you dude while going down on
I know when like, I said I, dude, I don't think he called me
I,
dude.
I totally
no,
could see
no.
that, though. I could totally be like him calling you dude. I could see you guys calling each other dude in bed, like, just because it just seems like a thing.
I wouldn't. No, definitely not. Dude. No, no.
Dude.
Dude.
Hey, dude.
Where's my pussy? And you
call him bitch, you know?
No, I don't. Bitch. I'm not that aggressive with. I wouldn't call him a bitch, no. Now, daddy, on the other hand, but...
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, that's just been something recently that I struggled with. And I don't know, I just feel like our sex life has just been out of sync. So I'm trying to get it back in sync before I leave. And I'm also hoping, too, when I get back, we'll be missing each other a little bit more. So it'll be like we haven't seen each other for a week, and then we get back into a good cadence. So it's just hard. I'm bored. Well, I'm not bored, but I'm sitting here all day in this apartment, and then he comes home. Right. He's tired. He takes a nap. I go work out. We make dinner together. We either have the energy or we don't. And then I feel weird about how I smell or whatever. And then I'm obviously not feeling, you know, I'll still suck his dick or do whatever to play. Like it's a me thing with eating. Like I have no problem if you want to finger me or you want to fuck, but I just don't want you eating me out. So, and of course that's my favorite thing, but I just feel, I don't know. I just don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and that's how I've always been. And I don't anticipate that changing.
Get to that a little bit later in the episode.
I don't think that has to do with that. That's just,
it's entirely a confidence thing. You're worried about it because you think that it matters when it doesn't.
No, I just don't like the smell myself, so I don't want you eating me out. That's not right. Me feeling like, I don't feel like, oh, he hates, because I know he doesn't care. But it's a me thing of, I don't like the smell myself, and I feel like I need to go shower. That's a cleanliness thing for me personally. If you don't have an issue with it, that's fine. But me personally, I need to shower. I need to do something.
But you are showered. You said you were clean.
Sure. But that's, I'm very confident in bed, but just that is one thing where I want to shower if that's the case, or I don't want to have sex. That's not saying I'm not self-confident or I don't practice self-care.
Well, no, I know you're confident.
Or
I'm saying that it's one of those things that I think you, but you said that even though he says that he doesn't care, you said earlier that you still don't believe it. Like it's not in your head. How could he not care?
That his opinion of it isn't what's most important. It's how I feel. And me personally, I don't like smelling it. So I don't care if you don't have an issue with it. It's me who has an issue with it. So I don't want to, I don't want you to eat me out.
Okay.
And he dropped it and it was fine. And then we.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's not, but I'm just saying that I think that's something that a lot of people wrestle with.
Okay. But like, if your dick's, okay, your perspective, if your dick didn't smell the best because of whatever fucking reason, would you not want to have sex and you didn't like the smell? Would you stop the girl from blowing you? Or would you say something? Would you stop her, or would you just let her continue?
Well, I would stop somebody if I wasn't clean. Well, I mean,
but what if you were, absolutely, but you still smelled rank or something?
Well, see, I don't think that's the thing. And then okay, so there it is. I don't think a natural body odor from having a period is rank.
I think this one, the specific days.
I know
before,
the smell. I mean, not your particular smell.
I'm saying I don't have a problem.
I know the smell you mean.
I don't have a problem with period sex. I don't have a problem if you want to eat me out on my period. But this is like a weird transition phase where there's a lot of.
I get what you mean. It's a weird. Yeah. Yes. I know that. And I know this. I know the sense. They're the types
and
of sense.
Sometimes,
like I said,
sometimes it doesn't happen. And sometimes it does. Yeah. And when it does, I'm like, oh, my God, gross. But that's just a me thing.
Right. Right. No, I know it's.
But
it's
you wouldn't stop someone.
That's the thing is, if I was clean and I knew I was clean, there wouldn't be a rank smell. It'd be my own scent, and my own scent is fine. I don't have a problem with my own scent. This is how I feel about it. You know, like
it's just like
I
a lot of discharge and stuff. I'm like, ugh. Like I just feel, There. Yeah, I said the word. I said the word. Okay. I don't know why I struggled to say that for the past five fucking minutes.
But like in the end, it's just it's fine. But I do think a lot of people wrestle with this, and I don't think you're the only one. Although I think there's a lot of women who don't like men going down on them at all, because all it takes is one man one time to say something years ago to like scar somebody into thinking.
Oh yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the bigger issue is the issue that I think that does come from confidence and is kind of you start doubting yourself because someone said something a long time ago that made you worry about it.
Mm-hmm. But when your vagina is basically in your face, cause that's how the position you're in, and you're just getting a good old whiff of it as he's eating you out, I'm like, I can't do this. This is too much.
Oh, hold on. Now I'm really confused. How is your vagina in your face when he's going down on you? Can you sketch me a diagram? Because I don't understand how this is happening.
I was
right
kind
now.
Of rolled up, like, okay. I'm like, show my.
Like a roly poly?
Like a roly poly. And then he was kind of leaning on top of me and eating me out from there.
So, okay. So it was almost like, okay, like when you're having sex with somebody and you like, you put their.
Your legs around them?
Yeah.
Right.
Except he was eating you out.
Yes.
Is that a normal position for you? That's a
no, 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 not typically.
Were you like in a chair or something?
No,
or
I was
like
on the bed. On the bed, but it was I didn't notice. So that's the thing. I didn't notice it when he was eating me out in different positions. And when I rolled up like that, I was like, I can't. Like that was too much for me.
I don't think I've ever gone down on a woman in that position. Like, to me, it always makes sense to be laying like on a bed.
Now I want
to
get into the position, just be like, wait, how like, did this work?
I
want to
get into the bed so that like my arms are like under her thighs. So like I have like, and then like, and I'm like going down on her and then like she's all the way up there. Like, you know, and like giving me direction or whatever, but like that, or she's like kneeling over me, but like I can't imagine how it would even really work physically to how, like, yeah, to be like if you had a dick, you're trying to suck your own dick, but you don't, and he's eating you out at the same time. This is a visual I never wanted in my head, but now.
You visualizing me naked right now?
I'm thinking about like it's just like it's like a weird creature. I don't know.
I'm just in a weird. Are you gonna draw it? Oh my god, he's gonna fucking draw.
I have to draw this out because I'm really so okay. So like you're laying, so your head's like flat on the pillow, right?
This is all because of discharge.
And so where are your hands in this case? Like where are your arms in this situation?
Probably on my side. They weren't.
Did you just put them to your hips like a superhero? No. If you watch this on video, she just put her hands on her hips like a superhero. So you're just like
super coming.
Yes. So they're probably like underneath you.
They're probably underneath. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So like your arms are underneath you, and then so your butt and legs are all the way up in the air, and then there's boobs. So we know which one is you. Okay.
Oh my god.
And then here he is. And he's just kind of like
over me.
Is he holding your hips?
Kind of, yes.
Okay.
That's the one part that makes this work. Because I mean, okay, I can hold myself up for, oh Jesus, I don't like this already. Yeah.
So is that?
Wait. The dick part really gets me there. Wow, the boobs too. Why are my legs so long? Why do they just... My body is like in a U shape, I guess.
Okay, if you're watching this on YouTube, you're really getting the full picture of. Okay, but that is kind of what it was like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting.
We'll try it out next time, there, Adam.
I don't think I want to. That's a weird. That's a really odd way to. Yeah. Okay.
You're just very in each other's personal space.
Yeah. Now it makes more sense why you would be as affected by it.
I didn't. So that was the thing. I did not care. He was down there. But when I got brought up into that position, it was just full vagina smell. And I was like, oh, God. Okay. But that's when it bothered me. It didn't bother me. Whatever. So I was like, now. You can go. And then, and then once it was in my head that was the smell, yeah. I couldn't not smell it. And then we had to just switch to something else. But I felt bad. But just moral of the story, if you've been feeling out of sync in my sex life. There you go. Yes.
But no, we just learned something today. So that was something that I learned something today.
I don't think I learned shit.
No, but I think the rest of us learned something about you today too. Like that's a position. I don't know what that's called. Like I've never even heard of that position.
Just unlocked like a new position.
Yes. Well, all right.
Is that how we're ending this? Perfect. No.
I know. This is fantastic. Before we go to break, though, I do want to address one quick thing that I want you to touch on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your expertise in being
not the sex positions.
Huh?
Not the sex positions?
Yes. We're going to focus on the feet this time.
Oh, again with the feet. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to, just because, you know, if people haven't listened to Millennial Toes, but we had somebody in our Facebook group who asked a question. And they said, so I started dating a man who is into feet. Give me your best suggestions and advice. I have a little experience here, but I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. What kind of requests should I be prepared for? And I thought that maybe you could offer some input to that listener. Maybe just what kind of things she could do for her partner.
Well, I think request-wise, nothing is guaranteed. But from my experience, people who have foot fetishes typically like foot jobs, or men who have foot fetishes typically like foot jobs. They might have a fascination with heels or different toenail polish.
Too.
Stockings could be one. They're going to pay more attention to your feet overall. So just know that you might get a little bit more attention, whether that's they'll pay for your pedicures, or they'll give you more frequent foot massages, which that doesn't suck either. That's probably the starting point, honestly, of when you find out someone has a foot fetish. They'll probably just want to massage your feet a little bit, and then they'll obviously, they should ask you your comfortability with them sucking on your toes or anything like that. But the first step is really just them admiring your feet and just wanting to massage them. And I don't think what's not to like about that, but it really depends.
Prepared to get a lot of jizz on your feet too.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I don't know.
Yes,
maybe. I haven't. I don't think so. Like my one ex-boyfriend, when we had sex, he liked to kiss my feet while we were fucking. Which, think about that sex position for a second. So it was always like edge of the bed or mission, basically mission, like me on my back.
Wheelbarrow style, basically.
Yeah, so one foot was up, yeah, and then he would kiss my foot and then come, which, spoiler alert, that got real old real fast because I always knew when he was about to come, and I'd be like, God damn it, not this position. I'm not fucking ready yet. But
I'm not ready.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a conversation of what you're comfortable with and what type of foot fetish or what he's into. Because just because someone has a foot fetish doesn't mean they like the same things. They could like you wearing heels. They could like just massaging your feet. They could like just stockings. It really depends on the person.
They could like you walking on a bag of Skittles like you did in the past.
They could just want to shove your foot in their face too. It really just depends. They could just want to lick the soles of your feet. They could, I don't know. Opportunities.
Have you given a foot job to Master Nun?
Did I not tell you this?
No. I don't think, if you did, I've already forgotten.
So this was when we first kind of started dating, and I was telling him about my past boyfriends or whatever, and I mentioned, you know, foot fetishes or whatnot. And he was like, oh, so you're skilled in giving foot jobs. And I was like, I wouldn't say skilled, but, you know, definitely done them. And one day he was like, give me your best. Such a dick. He's like, give me your best foot job.
Hey, champ. Champ, give me your best foot job.
Shut the fuck up. What the fuck? So, of course, you know, I was giving him a foot job. And he's like, you know, it's not my thing, but I can definitely see why this works. You know, it's, you know, what did he say? If I had a fascination with feet, this would get me there a lot faster. But because I don't, it's just like a hand job, but with your feet. That was his summary.
I would expect I think I've probably had like a half foot job where it was just kind of for a little bit. And I was like, oh, that feels good. But I feel like a foot job feels better than a hand job because hand jobs, like the grip, nobody knows how to grip right and knows the
right speed. Feet.
Whereas foot job is just more pressure and kind of movement, which is just more, I think feels better anyways.
What feels awkward every time I've given a foot job, though, it's always how my legs are positioned around their dick that I just feel like... I don't know how to explain it. I don't know.
It's like frog legs.
That's the perfect. Yes. Yeah, it's really frog legs around their dick. And I'm always thinking, does this look sexy? Because I feel like I look so weird. But they enjoy it, so who cares?
Yeah, there we go. Well, thank you.
Does that answer the question? I don't think so.
I think so. I think, well, you know, well enough. And one final thing I want to say is that, you know, earlier you made a little thing where you put your hands on your hips like a superhero. And I forgot to mention that I know what your superhero name would be. Oh. Do you know what it would be?
I don't even want to fucking guess at this point.
Two Dick Sarah.
You're such a dick. Oh, my God.
Two Dick Sarah. Yes, I meant to bring this up last episode. She's giving me the finger for those of you who are not watching this on YouTube right now. I meant to bring this up last week, and I forgot. And I'm so mad that I forgot. Sarah thought it was fantastic. I forgot. But she has a hand and arm bracelet, a wrist bracelet she's been wearing to avoid carpal tunnel. Is that what it is?
I guess. I don't know. I injured my wrist over the winter.
Yeah,
and
but it keeps her hand a certain distance. But it's like
I Mr. Crab hand. It's just crab hands.
Yeah. It looks like, it looks like a little claw. And I mentioned that I was like, yeah, it's not really even good for hand jobs because it's like so wide apart. She's like, it would have to be two dicks. So then I started calling her two dick Sarah. And I even think you were talking about Sonoma, but then he even said something like you'd need another dick or something like that.
Well, yeah, because he was joking around. He was like, let me fit my dick in your hand. And then he's like, oh, my dick's too small. I need to whip out my other one. And then the joke has just continued at this point. So now I never want to wear the fucking wrist brace.
So she shared that with me. And so, yes, and I started calling her two dick Sarah.
Such an asshole.
So that would be your superhero name, would be as he bends you over in a weird thing to go down on you. And you'd be like, I'm Two Dick Sarah, as you put your hands on your hips.
And with that, I think we're going to go to break.
With that, we'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Sarah and I talk a lot about healthy communication and self-love and being in the right mindset, but we don't always talk about the best way to achieve those healthy goals. Do you know what one of the best methods is?
Therapy. We are constantly discussing ways to remove stigmas that society puts on us, and the stigma for mental health treatment is one of those. Everyone can benefit from therapy, even you.
Me?
Especially you.
Good point. We've partnered with BetterHelp because they offer customized online therapy with live video sessions with your therapist. And if you're like Sarah and take 3 hours to make sure you look good for a YouTube video that only 14 people will see, you can schedule phone or chat sessions too, so that nobody even has to see your beautiful face.
Finding a therapist that you work well with used to be a challenge, but not with BetterHelp. It's also much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can even start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours.
And as a listener of Dating Kinda Sucks, you can get 10% off while you find out what online therapy is really about. Isn't it time to invest in yourself?
Since this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, Dating Kinda Sucks listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/DKSpodcast.
That's betterhelp.com/DKSpodcast. So I gotta say that I am actually genuinely thrilled that we have Manscaped as one of our sponsors. Manscaped is the best in men's below the waist grooming. They sent us a bunch of stuff. They sent you for your boyfriend and me, their lawnmower 4.0, which is their skin safe electric trimmer, their bushwhacker nose ear hair trimmer, anti-chafing ball deodorant, ball spray toner, and even like a really cool travel bag. And I could say that my balls have never been happier.
And I could say I never thought we'd be doing an ad about your balls, but what is to surprise you at this point on this show?
And can I say that it's been a dream of mine to do an ad about my balls? I feel like that just makes sense, but like, I'm totally serious too. Like, this is a product that every time I would hear an ad, I'd be like, I kind of want to try this because I have a horror story that I've never shared on here before. This is the first time I want to share it. But when I was like 13 or 14, I was noticing that things were a little bushy, and I was like, I got to do something about it. So I go to my parents' bedroom, and I know in their bathroom they have a pair of hair clippers because my mother had given me a really terrible haircut like that year or the year before. It was a couple years earlier, I guess, because it was kind of a bowl cut, you know, one of those things. But I knew she had trimmers. Not that anybody else ever used them, but I knew they were there. And I was like, I'll just grab those and use that. So what I didn't know is they'd been sitting under the bathroom, like under the cabinet. It's like dripping on it. There's a pipe in there that was leaking. So they were rusty and terrible. Yeah. So I knew none of these things. I'm just a 13-year-old moron. And I grab them. I run to my bathroom, strip down, plug them in, turn them on, and just go to town. Like, I don't even put a guard on the clippers because I don't know anything about what I'm doing. And these were like, you know, designed for, you know, the top of your head, you know, to cut your hair. But these were rusty and they were dull.
What the heck?
Yeah, I can't imagine any worse combination going towards your genitals. But, I nicked myself. There was so much blood, like literally like so much blood. It was terrible. And it was like fucking Michael Myers up in here. It was that bad. And I didn't know that. Like, I had to wrap myself in gauze and basically pretend like nothing was wrong. But, yeah. So I have quite literally been terrified to use clippers ever since. That was 30 years ago.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
So when like Manscaped reached out to us and was like, hey, we want to sponsor you, and then like sent us over their whole performance package 4.0, which like had, like I said, had that lawnmower 4.0, I was like, all right, it's time to give it another try. So this time I did it right. I like put the guard on. I followed the instructions, you know, as an adult should. I even used the clippers in the right direction because, you know, you put them one way and they actually trim. If you put them the other, they just like drag across. Yeah, you don't want that either. You do it the right way. And now I have that freshly shorn scrotum that I wish I had had as a youth.
So what you're saying is, thanks to Manscaped, you and your balls are happy?
They're better than happy. They are ecstatic. They're sarcastic. I don't know. Whatever. But yes, very happy. But how about your boyfriend? Has he enjoyed like the trimmer or the ball deodorant or the ball spray toner?
You know, his balls have never smelled better, and I don't mean that as an insult to him. You know, right. They smelled fine before, but they just smell better now, you know?
And if he listens, now he knows that we all think his balls are going to be smelling wonderfully. That's fantastic.
I thought you were going to say bad, that they smelled bad
before.
No,
bad. No, wonderfully. But yeah, so thanks to Manscaped, actually. You know, we got the holidays approaching, and what better gift to get the bushwhackers in your life than the Performance Package 4.0? I mean, they have other packages available as well, but their trimmer is waterproof, easy to use, and designed to minimize the risk of cuts and nicks. And I can't recommend it highly enough.
That's right. And thanks to our partnership with Manscaped, you can use promo code DKSPODCAST to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at manscaped.com.
Absolutely. Order gifts for the whole family, for a loved one, or even something for yourself today. Visit manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com. And use promo code DKSPODCAST for free shipping and 20% off. And your balls will thank you.
Adam.
Yes, two dicks, Sarah.
You're an asshole. That's not how I expected to come back for this break, you piece of shit. I was going to be serious and ask you a question, but okay.
Okay.
Regroup here. When you are feeling low energy, low effort, not really feeling like yourself, what's the first thing I say you need to do? When you're like, I don't know, I feel really blah right now.
I mean, you usually tell me that I need to re-dye my beard. You like, or do something, like, because you know that that's usually what, like, I'm feeling like blah. And it's kind of usually when I haven't, like, touched up the beard for a while, so I'm not feeling fresh or anything. I haven't shaved my head in a while sometimes.
Like, fix so, your like, face.
Fix your face. Yeah, basically. I think that is actually used, basically. You need to fix your face. And it's so true that, cause like I'm a very confident person. I mean, obviously I think that everybody knows that I'm pretty self-confident in most things that I do, but I still get in my head sometimes where I'm just like, you know, it's more of like this weird, just, I don't know, vague depression. And then I'll like touch up my beard. I'll re-dye it. I'll shave my head. I'll go through the effort of actually like doing some self-care and maintenance. And then it's like, ta-da, I'm like a brand new person.
I'm back, bitch.
Yeah, you know, I'll do an Instagram photo shoot, you know, and did post too many photos of my new beard everywhere. And it is, it's like a little like adrenaline boost. It's a little endorphin boost, I guess, when I do those types of things. And it's a good boost for my self-confidence. The thing, it doesn't really make that much of a difference between the new colors and the old colors, you know, whatever. You know, like it just, for me, though, it makes me want to go out and like, almost like show off. And so then I feel that I get that boost of confidence that maybe I've been needing.
You feel like you're hot again. You know, you're like,
yeah, I think that's what it is.
Like, you look good, like, feel good.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, now I'm, you know, some worthy of being noticed again, I think is really what it is.
Not that you weren't before, but you just personally weren't feeling it.
Yes. And that's exactly,
especially with the pandemic and not getting ready every day for work. I think that was really my energy boost in the morning, was having an hour getting ready, putting on makeup, fixing my hair, and then walking around the office in a cute little outfit like, fuck yeah, I got it. But right, now it's different with working from home, where you're like, well, and then you continuously just not get ready for work and throw your hair back and just not let yourself go, but not put that effort into it. And then you're like, well, damn, I don't know. I have the same thing too, where if I do my hair, if I start getting a routine of like just putting on a little bit of makeup or whatever, I look at myself and I'm like, ooh, I can film TikToks today. Ooh, I'm going to go out for a walk. Ooh, I'm going to do this. And like that one little action just led to all these other things happening throughout my day, which probably wouldn't have happened if I would have just worn sweatpants and thrown my hair back.
Yeah, it's interesting how those, like, we can just kind of trick ourselves mentally sometimes with little things that don't really do much, but it, even, you know, sometimes when you're feeling like down, even just taking a shower just makes a difference, because you're like washing off the grime of the day, even if you didn't do a fucking thing all day, like just like it gives you a little bit of feeling of like starting over. Mm-hmm. And I think that is sometimes what we all need.
Nothing else. What else do we need?
We all need a jet ski as well, according to Sarah. No, but so that's actually where like this topic came from. Our Facebook group, someone suggested it, and she is, you know, she's plus size. She's a plus size woman, and she wanted to talk about like kind of feeling secure in her own skin and confident. And so I thought we'd kind of extrapolate that into just how important self-confidence is if you're going to be successful in any type of relationship, because it's confidence is just the, you know, is the feeling that you're worth it. Like you're like, look at me. I'm, you know, like I'm worth something. And if you have to feel like you're worth something for other people to think that you're also worth something. And so it's so important to do that.
Yeah. That little strut you get when you look good and you feel good and all of that, that energy sends to other people of like, oh, what does she have? Ooh, what, you know, I'm attracted to that or whatever. And we might not notice it right away, but even just running into people now versus haven't seen them, you know, since 2019, they're like, oh my gosh, your energy is so different now. I'm like, I don't know what I was giving off then, but maybe, you know, what I'm doing now is working. And I think a lot of that has to do with confidence too. It's that energy that I have now with where my confidence levels are at.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think we should probably start off with
talking
about this is maybe getting into maybe some of the ways that that lack of confidence and that maybe just not feeling great about yourself can affect you in dating and your relationships.
Yeah. And I think with scrolling on dating apps, it's somewhat obvious to me the individuals who are lacking self-confidence just based on the photos that they post.
Oh, yeah.
On the app of like, I don't know if I want to swipe right on this person because I'm just getting that energy that they don't have a lot of confidence. And it's the over-filtered selfies. It's the blurry photos. It's the not really trying hard with their profile thing. That just says to me, oh, they just don't lack the confidence. Because if you had the confidence in yourself, mm-hmm. you would put more effort into selling yourself and being like, fuck yeah, I own my shit. I know who I am. But that's always a key giveaway when I see those profiles that just seem incomplete or like, I don't know, a little lackluster there.
Yeah. And I think that if you are personally feeling like you're just like, oh, what's the point of putting a good photo up there? Or you don't like any photos of yourself and you're just completely unhappy with that, then that's going to show through in every interaction because you already don't think that you're worth someone swiping on and that's, you know, or chatting with or talking to or dating or continuing any relationship with. Like it just expands from there. And so it's a good idea to start at the very core. Let's start off. I mean, this is just not to kind of jump ahead, but do a photo shoot. You know, get something like, you know, like have someone come out and take cool photos of you. Have photos that make you, you know, look at them. You're like, oh, like I
look
like
great
how I
in
look
these.
At them.
Yeah.
And I promise no matter how, you know, if you feel like you're overweight or underweight or whatever it is you feel about yourself, there are photos you can take that will make you feel like, you know, feel attractive. I mean, that is possible. It's very possible. One thing I've always enjoyed when I've done photography is a lot of the models that have come out, they've never done modeling before and they loved seeing photos seen through someone else's eyes. They get to see, instead of a selfie, it's like someone else taking pictures of them. And they're not like, I don't do heavy, like, I don't do any like airbrushing or anything like that. I want it to show the real person. And they get to see, oh, this is like all these people commenting and everything like that. They're like, oh, wow. Like, look at this. Like, people think this is a good photo. So like, it helps you see that about yourself. And I think that's a, you know, a very important thing to do is to look at a picture of yourself and be like, I look damn good here. Like, that's important.
And you should want to have those photos and you should want to post those photos and feel good about posting those photos.
Yes.
And not like, these are the only ones I have. Because that's the same thing with going back to the beard or doing my hair or whatever. It's like, fuck yeah, I want to. I did the fucking Superman thing
just,
again.
You
when
put
I
put your
said,
hands
in
your hips.
Damn it. Fuck yeah, I'm Superman.
Dick Sarah says.
You're never going to drop this now.
No, I'm not.
But
it's your superhero.
Anyways, fuck yeah, I feel great and amazing. And that's going to attract the energy of other people who also feel great and amazing, and then it hopefully sparks a cool conversation with that. But the lack of confidence not only shows just in the profile itself, but then in the conversations you have with that person too, or whoever you match with, of they're very lackluster. It's just kind of meh, everything because of that confidence not being there.
I've had conversations like that on dating apps because I you know, I tend to swipe pretty liberally because, I mean, a lot of what I do is marketing anyways. It's not necessarily like I also like meeting people and having good conversations and finding someone just to socialize with. I'm not always looking for dating. So I'm pretty broad in my selection. I came across someone who's local while I'm up here. And we matched and she was just so negative about everything and not negative in a, they're shitty men, which I understand that type of negativity, you know, like that kind of jadedness is make sense. But she was just kind of like, yeah, I just don't know what the point is. And, you know, like, and just everything that she said, we just had this like just cloud of doom hang over it. And it did not in any way like make me interested to keep talking to her. And so I just kind of let the conversation die because I was like, wow, this is like talking to Eeyore. It's what it is, like from Winnie the Pooh. Just
you
like,
don't want to surround yourself by that either, you know?
No. And I understand you get in a mood sometimes. Everybody has moods. But if you're not feeling confident enough, like, to why would anybody want to talk to you, then why the fuck is anybody going to want to talk to you? Like, it's kind of a, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy there.
Yeah, when you tell yourself, I'm not good enough, that's going to go out into the universe and other people are going to feel that energy of like, they don't feel like they're good enough. So why am I going to think they're good enough to ask them out on a date when they don't even care about themselves and they don't want to, you know, have confidence or improve that aspect of their life?
It's so funny. There was that, oh, you're not going to know this. I don't know why I'm trying to talk about this, but there was that Saturday Night Live character, Stuart Smalley. Do you know who that is?
Is it the guy who pretends to be a kid?
No.
There's a Stewart. That's Mad TV. God
and that's Stewart.
It.
Yes. Different show. Well, you know, yay, close. You get 20% for that. No, it was Al Franken, who was one of our senators now. was recently a U.S. senator, but he was on Saturday Night Live and he would look in the mirror and be like, you know, you're good enough and doggone it, people like you. There was a whole thing that he would do. It was like his mantra. And he was always like very positive. But the funny thing is like, that's actually not bad to be like, you know, to tell himself people like you, that you're worth it. You're worth people's times. You're good enough. You know, those things, if you aren't believing those things yourself, then people are going to trust you on that. Like if and you tell people enough time, I don't know why you like you like me, I'm not worthwhile, or I don't even know
they're
why you're
talking to me. They're
going to believe it. They're going to be like, oh, well, then I'll just take you at your word for it. And then you're going to be like, oh, see? And then you're like, no, that's you just did that to yourself.
Well, and you don't want, going back to that specific point too, you don't want anyone to feel sorry for you. You're not winning extra Browning points for people being like, oh, I'm with her because I just feel so sorry for her. That's never a good position to be in.
No.
I get you can go through tough times and things if she really needs a support right now or whatever, but that's typically not that early on into dating someone either. That's just my opinion, but...
And I could see, too, that some of our listeners might also feel like, well, okay, so Sarah is, you know, she's a fit, you know, athletic, young, attractive, you know, conventionally attractive woman, and I'm a guy. So what do we know about kind of maybe women? Because I feel like a lot of the confidence issues come from people who are plus size. And I know men have issues as well, but plus size men, like, we have a lot easier than women. I mean, we do, because everybody just, you know... There's just this whole market for big guys with dad bods, you know, essentially. And I know as a plus size woman, it can, I don't know.
I was going to say, hold up.
But I know that if you are a plus size woman and you're listening too, that you're going to think that this is different. Like that what you are going through is different because you get, you know, you might get shit from people on dating apps. You might get, you know, just constant, you know, media and society and all, like everything piling on you. And I can understand why that might affect your confidence. But I can tell you, and not to promote another podcast, but let's talk about our friends.
Nikki and Alex.
Swipe Fat, who have shown just as two plus size women that are, you know, like demonstrably plus size. They're not like someone who's like a size, you know, size five and like, oh, plus size, you know, they're plus size women, who have taken on dating and, you know, talk about it very openly. They've shown really how much that self-confidence can be a boost and can really be attractive. It like the self-confidence alone without anything else can be such an attractive thing. So I think, you know, I want anybody who might be listening that might be thinking that, you know, we're not talking about your specific situation. We are trying to incorporate that into this too. That is important.
Yeah. I mean, and that goes back to just because someone has a certain body type, the skinny, let's go the other spectrum here. Just because someone is specifically skinny doesn't mean they have confidence either. A size does not equate confidence level at all. That is built from within. That is built from positive self-talk and consistently working on yourself and building in those positive routines throughout your day.
It's interesting. I will see actually on TikTok sometimes, I will see women who you would look at and think, oh, they, you know, they must have, you'd think they'd have amazing confidence, showing all the comments they get from men are like, you know, she needs a cheeseburger, or what, you don't eat, or, you know, I can see your hip
bone. And they can't let that roll off and just laugh at it. That really fucking gets to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, you know, everyone has the potential to have confidence issues. And I think it really depends on mental strength. I don't know if that's like a
I mean, phrase, it doesn't, but... just to continue with this, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't just wake up one day and have more confidence. It's a slow build that you consistently work on. So, and I don't know if you've heard this example, and I don't know how cheesy this is, but the talking to a plant scenario, where if you talk positively to one plant, versus yelling and shit talking the other plant, it actually affects the plant's growth just from a molecular level.
I've heard that somehow the positive talking helps. Yeah, right. I've heard that.
And so the conversation's also been like, if you consistently think negative things about yourself, that's affecting you. Even though it's not, you can't physically see it, it is affecting you at a molecular level. Just like if you're bitching at a plant and saying like, you piece of shit, you're not worth anything, you're going to die soon. If you're telling yourself that internally, that's impacting you one way or another. Obviously, it's fucking up your self-confidence. So it starts with a lot of positive self-talk of going, okay, you know, not the end of the world. We got this, you know, even when bad things fucking happen, instead of going like, you're so fucking stupid for thinking you could have done that. Instead of going, well, that was a mistake. All right, then, you know, it's twisting that and slowly those small statements right there and switching that over time. Now I can laugh at myself when someone waves behind me and I think someone's waving to me, but they're really waving to the person behind me. I don't know why that happens to me all the time, but I used to be mortified because I would wave and be like, I'm so fucking stupid. Oh my God. And then I just wave and be like, oh, you're waving to them. Got it. Hey. And then I keep walking on. Like I said, it doesn't happen overnight, but those are just small examples of over time, you get more comfortable in just the awkward situations or just who you are as a person.
And I think that a big step from that is to stop comparing yourself with other people. But at the same time, realizing that everybody has issues. If you're going to compare yourself to other people, don't compare yourself to some fictionalized ideal that you think this other person is. Compare yourself to the realistic version of, here's another person who probably has insecurities and confidence issues that works with those every day. They might be different than yours, but they still exist. Mm. And if you can compare yourself to with the realistic version, then you might realize that you were all kind of the same. And that might help you feel a little better about it. Because I think that's what it is we idealize, you know, other people that we don't know what's going on in their lives, et cetera. And you can't do that. You can't be like, my real reality is somehow comparable to this idealized life that I've invented in my own brain for this person.
Mm-hmm. So like my example was, I had really terrible acne in high school. And my best friend at the time had fucking porcelain skin. It was perfect. And we were in theater together. And it was always just a pain for me to do my makeup because I was always trying to cover my acne. And she's like, just beautiful. But at the same time, she was struggling with bulimia. She was struggling with her weight. She never really was open about that until a couple of years later of like, I was so jealous of your body, just like your body type. And I was like, I was so jealous of your skin, you know, and I had no idea. And she had no idea. I'm like, wow, we were so just in the comparison game. And obviously that friendship was not healthy for multiple reasons, but we were, I'm not building up a healthy friendship foundation here, but that was just an example of we were always thinking like, she has what I have. And I'm the worse off person in this situation, but we were struggling with our own shit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, that's such a important thing is to just realize, you know, everybody's going through their own shit. Okay. Let's talk about this. This is kind of what I was thinking with the comparison thing, that being confident doesn't mean that you are ignoring your flaws and pretending they don't exist. I think that's a big part of this. Is sometimes people might think, well, you know, how can I be confident when I'm overweight, or when I have, you know,
be confident when I lose the 20 pounds, right, or I have clear skin. That was always something, you know, just things we tell ourselves, and that'll just we'll be better people when that's gone, and I'll be my real self after that, and I just got to get past the ugly 20 pounds or acne that I have.
I love that you say 20 pounds. I feel like a lot of people are be like, when I lose 100 pounds or two, like, you know, it's like for some people, it's like it's a burden, but they see that as being like, that's when I will finally be confident. Your confidence isn't about ignoring the flaws about yourself. It's about realizing that in that with those flaws, you are still a human being, and you're still worth love, and you're still worthy of happiness, and you're still worthy of positive attention. And that as you are in the moment, regardless of what flaws you see and regardless of what improvements you might want to make to yourself later or changes you might want to make to yourself later, you are still worthy of happiness and love in that exact moment. And that's an important, I think, thing to keep in mind, because like I've been there as someone who's, you know, obviously always wrestled with weight, and, you know, and over the pandemic, I feel like my weight has fluctuated like at least 50 pounds, because there are times when I've barely eaten and there's times when I've just been doing nothing but sitting around and eating and going out and getting drunk all the time. And then I wrestled my way before when I had, you know, I had lap band surgery, like, you know, 12 years ago. And so to me, it's always been like, oh, you know, once I drop that extra, you know, that extra weight, then, you know, once I get down to a, you know, back down to a 44 inch waist, then I'll be happy. And that's not going to make you happy. It's not, because it's all superficial. I had to get to the point and be like, no, you know what? I'm a fat guy, and I don't you know, like, if I change and I lose weight, then I'm not a fat guy still. I'm still me. And I want people to like me for me, regardless of what size I am. And I have to like me for what's regardless, because I am the size that I am right now. And if I don't like me now, then what the fuck? Why would I even bother trying to improve it? You know? So it's a very tricky situation.
Yeah, and I think you can want to focus on wanting to lose weight and that not be a negative thing either, to go, I'm working on loving who I am now. I just want to value myself even more and take healthier steps to be a better person. I mean, that during the pandemic too, it's like I gained a little bit of weight and wasn't feeling the most confident. And I was like, oh, I just feel bloated and gross. But it really just started with, I'm going to walk more every day. I'm going to walk at lunch. I'm going to just eat a little healthier. And those were really the, you know, and I just want to have some kind of positive routine. And that over time, yes, I did lose some weight over like fucking 7 months. And it wasn't like I needed to fast lose the weight to feel confident. It was going, oh yeah, I actually enjoy walking because it's good for my mental health too. And listening to a podcast doing it and just building in those habits over time helped.
And it's whatever those habits are, because I'm not someone who's going to go on any hikes.
Right. Accidental hiking only.
Only accidental hiking. But you know, for me, it might be, oh, I want to get this thing done. I want to get a project done, or I want to read a book, and I actually want to sit down and just enjoy the process of reading. And because I love reading and I haven't done that in a while, and it actually makes me feel safe and comfortable to read. And then I'm happier. And so whatever the routine might be, it's important to try to establish something that helps you have some stability and some, you know, some mental strength.
I think the other important thing outside of just having activities to do to build that stability is surrounding yourself with people who aren't going to tear you down and fuck up your self-confidence even more. Yep. And that means removing friends and family from your life who don't support you in the ways that they need to support you. And that's a hard pill to swallow, but you're better off for it.
If you're capable of doing that, if you're in a space where you can actually get rid of those people, then you should, because that's like just all these toxic people eating away at your confidence while you're trying to build it up, whatever. Then you look at these people and you're using them as your kind of your gauge of whether or not you should like yourself, and they don't like you. So why, you know, because of course they're just, you know, reflecting their own insecurities and shitty, petty lack of confidence themselves onto you. But it is very important to get rid of, the more toxicity you can remove from your life, the happier you will be.
I would rather have, and I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of friends, and I've said that time and time again on this podcast, yeah, but the people I do fuck with are very positive people in my life that I can go to and go, hey, what do you think of this? Hey, instead of going, oh, you're doing that. I mean, even just with having the podcast, the reaction from some people were, oh my God, that's awesome. You're trying that out. You're doing right. that thing versus, you're really going to talk about that? I don't know if you should talk about that. Just that sentence really sets the tone for, wow, they support me and they're positive, or I don't know. And that stems from even just if you're wanting to get out and date more or just try dating in other ways, if people are going, yeah, good for you, get back out there, versus, are you going to do this again? I mean, it didn't work out the last time. You don't need the latter in your life.
I mean, that's very true. And that's good. You know, I had an ex-girlfriend before we started the podcast who had this group of girlfriends that she called her wolf pack or whatever. That was this group text. And they were some of the most toxic people that I never met them, but that I met virtually or whatever. And all they would do would like shit on her in these passive aggressive ways. And it was crazy. Like she would go with me to an event or something. And I would post pictures on Instagram and they would be like, so how come he's always taking photos with all these hot women? You know, and she'd be like, I was standing right with him. Like I'm in the photos, you know? So like, it's not like he's, you know, and then they would like, and they would just say stuff and it got to her head. Like it made it someone, she was great. Like she's still alive. I just said was like, she was
but you're not dating her anymore.
Yeah, I'm not dating her, but yes, but she is great. She's smart and funny and cute and all these things and attractive. And she let that confidence eat away enough that we couldn't date anymore. Like it was like,
she didn't feel confident enough to date you. Because you were the confident one? I think I remember actually.
Because I was confident, but also beyond that, it was also, you know, I was on stage performing a lot and I would make jokes about how much I like redheads, for example. And then her wolf pack would be like, yeah, well, he says he likes redheads. You're not a redhead. You know, to the point that one day she actually dyed her hair red. Like she spent like 6 hours and I think like $400 getting her hair bleached. She had brown hair, getting it bleached and dyed like a full red. For me, which I didn't realize that's what it was for. She showed up and I was like, oh, I love your hair. You know,
but
like it was
great. But her friends got to her thinking that she wasn't enough. That is so fucking awful.
It was so, yeah. And I think she slowly started to remove a couple of them from her life, but she still occasionally listens to them and she has a lot of self-confidence issues because of it. She's gotten better, but she needed to be alone for a while. She just needed to kind of work on herself. So she was happy, but we couldn't date because of it. And the thing is if you would look at her otherwise, you'd never think that you'd think, oh, why would she have any confidence issues? And yet she was filled to the brim with them because of her toxic friends and family. Her family is garbage as well, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. I really do think a lot of it stems from the people we surround ourselves with.
Yes.
Where if you're not laughing and you're not feeling like, wow, there's added value in my life and I'm really enjoying my time around these people, then what are you doing around those people versus, wow, I'm constantly the butt of their jokes. They're always ridiculing me for whatever. I just know anytime I hang out with these people, they're going to say something about the way I look or what I'm doing in my life now. Why do you have to answer to them? And why do they need to be in your life? Just because, and I'll be the first to say, just because they've been in your life for X amount of years does not mean shit. You can be friends with someone for 10, 15, fucking 20 years. And in the span of a year, a lot of shit can change where, wow, you're really not treating me the way you need to treat me as a friend and I deserve better. That's a whole nother topic in itself, but that removing those people can exponentially increase your confidence going like, wow, I don't have anyone negative over my shoulder telling me I suck all the time now. And you should never have that, but damn.
No, right. Yeah. And here's another thing to keep in mind about people in general. And this is kind of an oxymoron when it comes to confidence, is that a lot of the confidence comes from thinking that people are going to talk about you when you go out in public or thinking that, you know, whatever flaw that you're worried about is noticeable to people. And so you don't want to invoke their negative thoughts or comments or anything like that. Here's the thing. Most people out in the public don't give a shit about you. And there's the oxymoron, is that like the self-confidence is actually realizing they don't give a shit about you. You could have toilet paper stuck to your shoe. And for the most part, nobody's going to give a shit. Nobody cares. You know, like whatever it is that you think.
Because you shit the toilet.
Yes. But like whatever it actually is, like if it's just like you don't feel like, you know, good in your own skin, you feel like, you know, people are going to point and laugh or talk about you, the chances are everyone's too self-absorbed in their own shit anyways, and you can go about your life without worrying about what anybody's going to say. And the only people who might ever say anything are hateful people you don't give a shit about anyways. Like, and you have to understand that. And like really, like I can only imagine like people who sometimes, like you look at those sites like people at Walmart. and which are hateful sights. And the, you know, and I understand people like, oh, these people went out in public, but you know what? Those people fucking had confidence to go out in public.
He said, I don't give looking a fuck.
In outfits that I wouldn't step out in the house, you know, house with. So I almost admire that their complete lack of awareness of what society would might see and just going for it, you know, because that's fucking confidence.
Well, I also think too, just going back to that Walmart site,
yeah.
We're in a culture where it's fun to poke fun at other people when they're not like everybody else. But then when you're on dating apps, who wants to date just anybody else?
Yes.
Who wants to be just anybody else? We want to be different in our own way. But God forbid you try to be different and you're ridiculed. And that goes back to wearing certain outfits. I follow a bunch of fashion influencers who have slowly developed their style over time. And people are like, how do you get the confidence to wear outfits like that? They're like, yeah, at the beginning, I fucking couldn't because I was so right. nervous about what everyone else was thinking about my outfit. And then I realized no one's staring at my outfit. I'm the only one who cares so much about it. And then once you get that out of the way, you're like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want because I'm free. And I also think too, it's one of those sayings where it's like, you can wake up tomorrow and change your entire life. And I know that sounds pretty cliche, but you can wake up tomorrow and really go, you know what? I don't fucking like that I do this anymore. And I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live here anymore. I'm just going to completely change my friend group and focus on this new hobby instead. You can do that in a drastic yes. way. Might not be the best to just wake up and do it. You might want to plan a little bit, but you really right. can just go, I want to be more positive now. I'm going to do all the steps to be more positive, to be more confident.
Mm-hmm. Confidence is entirely a mental game. It really is all about your brain telling you that you're worth it. And I mean, there's that terrible cliche of like fake it till you make it. Which, you know, it doesn't work if like you're a doctor or something like that. But like generally speaking, as far as confidence is, faking it till you make it does work. Like you telling yourself, I can do this and people like me and I like me and I'm happy. And like telling yourself that, it can reinforce, becomes a loop in your brain. It can actually be it'll boost you positively. And so that you have to fake it sometimes. Sometimes you have to be like, I don't feel confident. And you have to like just suck it up and just make yourself fake that confidence. And before you realize it, it'll actually be genuine.
Mm-hmm. And then as you're faking it, you're like, well, I don't really care what anyone thinks anyways. And then you're just, once you're actually like doing the thing, you're just overly humble at that point, which is just another great energy to give off because you've made it now. You're feeling yourself. And now you're like, oh, I'm just faking it this whole time. And I'm overly humble now, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And it's really, you know, it's so hard because when you are depressed and when you're, and I know that a lot of self-confidence issues come from depression. And when you're not, you know, you're not feeling mentally strong, it can be hard to fake it. But, and I think that's when you have to take little moments of self-care. You have to do like even if it's just get up and take a shower, even if it's just, you know, get yourself out of bed, go for a little walk, get some fresh air, like whatever little things that might help. To kind of get you out of that fog so that you can fake it. There are also things that, you know, like you can, there are, you know, self-affirmations and mantras you can tell yourself. There are things you can just repeat to yourself. And I feel like we talked about this in an earlier episode, the repeat, what did we do?
Repeat to yourself.
I don't know. I used to have this thing. Maybe it was when I was someone on a guest on another podcast. I don't know. So I used to have this thing like when I was really like just like down that I would like, yeah, I would take a shower and I would just kind of say to myself, everything's going to be okay. Like it's going to be okay.
Oh, you have mentioned this.
Yeah.
And I don't remember
what episode we were talking about, but yeah. And like it was just a little mantra, but like just saying it, the more I said it, the more I was like, oh, it is going to be okay. Like it's just, and you can do that for confidence too. You can say like, you know, I'm worth it. I'm, you know, I'm somebody that has, you know, that has value, that I deserve love. I deserve happiness. You say these things and the more you say it, the more it becomes true. And it sounds ridiculous, but I really feel like that is a reality.
Have I mentioned, I think I've told you this. When I first started dating though, I would stare at myself in the, sit in my car, open up the mirror, stare at myself and go, you're a badass bitch. Anyone would be lucky to be with you. And I'd say it multiple times. And then I go, okay, bad bitch, get the fuck out of the car and make a good impression. And like, that is what I said for so many of the first dates I ever went on. I consistently said that. And then it became, yeah, I'm going on a first date, whatever, I don't care. But it was building that routine in where I think for the first 20 or so dates, first dates that I had been on, wow, or even just that's dates great in general. So even just it goes back to the positive self-talk of just saying, yes, I got this, I'm worth it, I can do it. And then you'll be on the date doing the thing going, oh shit, look at me now.
And I think that that's like, once you faked it and, you know, you just kind of made it happen, you're a badass bitch. And then eventually you're like, oh yeah, this is nothing. It's like anything. Once you do it enough too, that you start to realize it's no big deal.
Well, and it goes back to, no one knows what they're doing, realistically. Yeah, everybody's just out there figuring it out. And we think everybody knows what the fuck they're doing. And then the older you get, you're like, actually, we're all just fucking winging it. So I wouldn't ever go into a date expecting, oh, he has his shit together and he's all this. We're all just figuring it out. Some people are just faster in the race than others. And just be confident in where you're at now.
I can't remember. I think I've talked about this as well. And I just realized how pertinent this is. But for a while, I used to really limit my, you know, I say my dating age is like broad, you know, anything from 22 to, you know, 57, whatever. Like, you know, just if I like somebody and we get along, that's all that matters. But for a long time, I was really shying away from people that were my age and only going for younger because I felt like I don't have my shit together. Like, and so I kind of had this idea that like that women my age are all have their shit together and we're all like doing fine and completely like, and so like, why would they want to date me? Because I'm, you know, I'm just, you know, whatever, my life is always in shambles and I, you know, I live life in a very odd way and different than most people my age. And then it took a conversation with someone who's just a friend of mine who is my age to realize, oh no, everybody's fucked up. Like, you know, we're all our different levels of fucked up. We're all at different stages in our life. And that I shouldn't let that stop me from dating people my, you know, that are my age, because, you know, the thing is what I might consider, you know, someone has their shit together, they might think, oh no, I don't have my, you know, I'm fucked up too. Mm-hmm. And so like, it really, and it actually did help, but it was something where I was attributing these fictional, like, you know, things to people that was just an idealization and not at all close to reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because you see them look with all their photos on their profile or whatever, their awards and recognition that they put in their bio or God knows whatever, doesn't mean shit.
Right.
That's just what they're putting out there. And then it goes back to, you could be really skinny and have terrible self-confidence and hate yourself. Uh-huh. And you could be in a plus size body and feel amazing about yourself and have hella confidence. The shell does not matter.
Yeah, I have this this friend in Orlando, and I know she doesn't listen, so her name's Carrie. And Carrie, she doesn't live there anymore, and we she's kind of, but she was model level, you know, like, and she actually did model and everything, and she was stunning, and she was one of the sweetest people, and she hated herself, and it showed in every relationship because she went from abusive relationship to abusive relationship to abusive relationship, because that's which also kind of ties into what I was going to say was that. One of the reasons that you want to be confident is because how you treat yourself tells other people how to treat you as well. Mm-hmm. Not to say, let me step back and say, that's not meaning that you're at fault for other people mistreating you. You're not. Like, it's not her fault that she, you know, that she basically, that she was abused. It's the only people who abused her's fault. But she thought almost that she deserved it. Because she didn't like herself. And so she never trusted that she deserved someone to treat her well. And so people who treated her, who mistreated her, she was kind of drawn to that because of her self-hatred. So it is one of those things that, yeah, if you love yourself, then you help teach people that you let into your life how to love you as well. And if you aren't even willing to love yourself, then it can be hard for other people to see the value in loving you too. Because if you don't, then why, you know,
it's like selling yourself. If they don't, yeah, if they don't like the product, then why am I buying into it?
Yeah. If I walk into a restaurant, I'm like, what's good here? And the waiter's like, everything's shit. I don't know why you're eating here. Like, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to be like, let me have your finest steak. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. And so like, it is kind of like, you know, you're that attitude helps, you know, your attitude helps you find and attract the type of people who also want to treat you in the way that you feel like you deserve to be treated. Once again, also not saying that people who are victims of any type of,
I know there's like these attitude, caveats, you know, of, well, like looking, well, yeah, because I don't want to say like,
yeah, if you get into, you know, because there's also narcissists and you know, and people who are you know, complete sociopaths who can trick you into thinking that they're treating you the way that you deserve to be treated, and they just turn out to be shitty people. Like that happens all the time. But I'm just saying, generally speaking, that you know, like how you treat yourself helps people, helps attract people who also want to treat you that way.
And you'll have different standards for what you'll accept and not accept too. Of like, oh, hell yes, no, he's not showing up on time, or he's, fuck him, he's not responding to my messages, I don't need him anyways, whatever.
That's a, you know, that's an excellent point. Yeah. If you are confident that you deserve someone who treats you well, you're more likely to drop somebody at the first red flag that they show as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you don't feel like you deserve anything, then you're willing to put up with more red flags because you feel like, this is all I'm going
to
get.
Right. And you got to hang on to what the best options available.
Yeah.
Where you should never be settle. In that position.
Never settle. That's a whole other. I think we even did an episode on never settling.
We did
years ago. Those are probably our first year of recording. We should probably someday probably revisit that because like that's such an important topic.
Yes. Any other final thoughts before wrapping up this week?
So I wrote our agenda last night after going out.
You're really going to share this. Okay. He's yes, really going to share this. All right.
So I wrote, I don't even remember writing these six mantras, but I wrote these six mantras. I thought I would read them just for entertainment's sake. Number one is, and these are just mantras you can repeat to yourself because I don't think they're bad, honestly, but I just, you know, I'm unapologetically me and I love who I am. Number two, even if I have aspects of myself I want to work on or improve, that does not mean I am not worthy of love or attention. Number three, the only person holding me back from truly loving myself is me. Number four, people who judge and hate are looking in a mirror, and I choose to reflect love and acceptance instead.
How drunk were you when you wrote these? My God.
Shut up. Number five, nobody on earth is, has been, nor ever will be perfect. I actually really like that one, by the way. That's a good one. And number six, I'm fucking amazing. And if people can't realize that, it's their loss.
That's like my, you're a bad bitch. You got this. Yeah. That would be my only one.
These are, I don't think any of these are actually bad. They just, you know, they're,
you got a little sappy at the beginning there.
It was a little sappy. Yeah. It was a little sappy. Sometimes confidence is all about sappiness.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken, you know, I built up confidence over years, and a lot of that is, you know, is knowing things like this or having to remember things like this as well. But that's all I wanted to share. That's as far as closing that out.
it's so, just small but do, wins. You know,
one thing that gives both of us confidence is if you give us a 5-star rating and review.
Ooh, yes. That would give me a lot of fucking confidence. Hell yeah. And you follow us on Spotify and listen on Spotify because that really helps with our show's growth.
It does. And we do need 5-star ratings and reviews. But no, you know, if you have questions about confidence that we didn't address, or if you have topics that you are something about this that you know, you want to talk about more, or you feel like we should expand on or whatever, or clarify, you can feel free to always email us at datingkindofsuckspodcast@gmail.com or message one of us on, you know, Instagram or TikTok or, you know, any of those.
Or the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/DKS podcast, which is where this topic originated from.
Yes. And as well, if you were listening to this episode and you want to watch because you want to see my drawing of what
Jesus,
Sarah and Master and Nun are doing, then you can watch at youtube.com/DKS podcast.
It's a good drawing.
Yes. And you can also, if you do want to support us, we always appreciate the support. You can support us for $5 a month. And that is, you know what? Actually, I got our YouTube wrong. It's youtube.com/datingkindofsucks. I said DKS podcast and you didn't even correct me. Good job, Sarah.
I didn't even hear you say YouTube. Honestly, I was thinking about the next thing I was going to say. So,
But if you do want to support us, you can support us for $5 a month at Patreon. And that does help us. That's patreon.com/DKS podcast.
Well, there you go.
What else were you going to say?
Oh, no, nothing really. I was going to bring up the Facebook group and our social handles, but you kind of already touched on that before you flubbed on the YouTube thing.
I know. I fucked it up. And if you enjoyed our ads, we totally are trying to make sure these sponsors stick around. So if you want to use the promo codes in those, like at Manscaped, you go to manscaped.com and use code DKS podcast. You can get 20% off your first order and free shipping. And so like men's grooming stuff, I actually recommend doing that. They're a sponsor we want to make happy. And if they get some orders, then they're going to stick with us as well.
Perfect for the holidays.
That's true. For, you know, get your...
Don't say his joke, trying to pass it as your own.
No, I wasn't. I wanted you to share his joke.
Oh, so Buster had a joke. He was listening to the ad and he's like, yeah, Manscaped is perfect for the holidays. I'll get my 7-year-old son the Manscaped stuff so he can shave his balls. I'm like, hey, that's not the point. Chill.
Yeah, I know. It's for people who actually have hair on their balls.
Why do you go there every time? No one asked for this.
His brain, I like where his brain goes a lot of times because he gets twisted as hell, and it's really pretty funny.
It's entertaining, sure.
When is this episode coming out?
This is going to come out Black Friday.
Oh, okay. So happy Thanksgiving to those of you that celebrate Thanksgiving, and hopefully it was a good one for everyone. And we will be back in December with a brand new episode.
That's crazy. Until next time.
Whether you're married or single or poly or ace, or hanging out with swingers back at your place, listen to us as we give no fucks on Tinder and Bumble and plenty of yucks, trying and having no luck, because we all know dating kind of sucks. Sarah and Adam are two of a kind. He says stupid shit and she doesn't mind. They're not doing this show to make any bucks. Life as a chicken whose feathers they pluck. Why does it work? Well, here is the crux. They both know dating kinda sucks. Dating kinda sucks.